Welcome to the SG Engage podcast, where it's all social good all the time. Sit back and relax as the brightest minds from across the social good community engage with trends, big ideas, and best practices to help you drive impact.
Hey everyone, I'm Rachel Hutchison and I lead corporate social responsibility at Blackbaud. December 3rd, 2019 marks the 8th annual Giving Tuesday, the global day of giving that happens the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Giving Tuesday has grown every year since its inception and is an important part of the end-of-year giving season. However, with so many organizations fundraising on the day, it's important to think of creative ways you can stand out. I'm happy to have Jennifer Dunworth, Director of Development for the Maryland SBCA, join us today to talk about the very creative and timely campaign they ran last year that helped them raise more than $41,000, which was $11,000 more than their goal. So welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thank you.
You are so welcome. So I already have told you this offline, but I love the SBCA, and my current cat, Thomas, thanks the SBCA for helping them find us.
He's wonderful. Very happy
cat indeed, and rules our lives, as you would expect.
So, as he should.
As he should, as cats do. Yeah, the dog doesn't think that. But so I want to talk about what the Maryland SPCA did last year for Giving Tuesday. So tell us about it.
Sure. I'm happy to. So for a little context, the Maryland SPCA is a 150-year-old organization. It started in Baltimore to address the inhumane treatment of workhorses essentially right after the Civil War. And so we have evolved. And now we're in a land of, if you look at us online, you're going to see cats and dogs, the things that most of us consider to be our pets, although there are many small animal pets and exotic pets. But we're a cat and dog folk. And last year, 2018, when we looked at Giving Tuesday, we were able to put together a campaign that we called Vote Cat, Vote Dog. And each gift, each dollar of each gift that was made on Giving Tuesday was counted as a vote, and we allowed and invited our folks to literally be team cat or be team dog or be team both. And we really encouraged that for two reasons. If you recall, we were in midterm election season, not necessarily fun for everybody, and we wanted to be able to put out a message that was a little more lighthearted than usual. A lot of us who work in animal welfare are very accustomed, particularly at the end of the year, to start to begin to see very sad commercials and, you know, very abandoned pets. And we wanted something going into that season before we got into grim and depressing to do something that was fun and lighthearted. We also wanted to tap into an emotion that we knew was very natural for our supporters and for many pet lovers all over the country and all over the world. So we counted votes, and I am very happy to say that Team Both won at the end of the campaign.
That is so awesome. So I saw this campaign when it was happening because, you know, I already can tell you did a good job of getting it out there on the airwaves and through social media. And that is absolutely lovely and fun because, you know, you're right. You know, the country was feeling a bit of angst and it was midterm elections. Yep. But people have very strong opinions about whether they're team cat or team dog or team both. So we're obviously
That's
team both in my
right.
house, although I think you, yeah. I would say I'm team cat and my husband is team dog. We're actually team both. We couldn't, like, just pick one over the other, you know, that would be unfair. So how did you come up with this idea? I mean, it's really creative, it's really fun, but it's also really pointed for the time that it happened.
Well, ironically, it came up very organically. And so I need to first give a shout out to a fabulous design firm that we've worked with here in Baltimore called ID5 and Max Kellner and his team. We were working with Max on a completely different project. It was a graphics project that we had been kind of moving through over the summer. And as you do when you start to get to know your service providers really well and maybe your consultants, you start having wonderful off-the-cuff conversations. It might be about your children. In our cases, it's usually about our four-footed children. But we also started talking about, in the midst of this other project, how important it was and how much the Maryland SPCA works at being balanced between team cat and team dog. As you can imagine, some folks are very vehemently one team or the other, and we want to ensure that we always represent team both. The irony of all that is while some people tend to see dog, we actually adopt out many more cats than we do dogs every year. So Max was part of this conversation and sort of laughing and joking with us and saying, wow, boy, you're like Republicans and Democrats. And everybody looked around the table and said,
Yeah.
My God, we are. We are. And so it was a very organic moment that we then sat there for a little while and said, oh, won't that be terrible? Won't we be just, you know, mixing it up and inciting more angst and concern?
Yeah.
And the more that we talked about it, the more we thought, no, this is going to get people laughing. It's going to get people
it's
feeling
fun.
Comfortable. It's fun. So that's really where it came from.
Yeah, so that's so funny. So, you know, it makes me, I start thinking, like, I wonder, like, what political party my animals are. Like, how do they vote? Because, I mean, like, I think my cat's actually an MI5 agent who, like, flies around in a helicopter at night and solves, like, world peace because he's just so smart. So, like, I wonder, like, how you would vote. You know, that's so interesting. But it is really fun.
Ironically, that was part of the conversation. There was a point in the design, and I suspect that many organizations go through this at one point or another. It was certainly a lesson learned for us. And it's to remember that you can get lost in the creative joy and sort of overinvest your time. There was definitely a moment where we were sitting around going, we had created this cat who was a very, almost a Republican, you know, don't get in my space sort of thing, but not really Republican because they believed in these other, you know, very passionately about these other things. And then we had created this dog and we all stepped back and said, we have now gone a little over the edge. Let's pull back. Everybody needs to breathe.
And what, I mean, what dare I say, what if one of them is an independent? I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
You
and
know?
We couldn't bring in Team Rabbit because we don't, you know, adopt rabbits, and that was going to be our middle ground.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, what you did, I think, was really clever. So when you started preparing for the campaign itself, what were the most important steps, like creative design, donor communication, social media? Take us through that a bit.
Sure. So creative design was definitely a piece of it. We are a very unique, we're uniquely positioned in part because of our age and in part because of the type of shelter we are. We are not an open admission shelter. There's another organization here in town that works with city animal control. We partner together very closely. And in fact, if they're overcrowded, they will often call us up and say, can you take some of our pets? And we do. And we work together on a number of projects. So we have a tendency to look different than what most people envision. And sometimes that can lead you down a funky road. You know, people, we all do it. We all have our moment, unconsciously or consciously, where we sort of kind of have that little bias tweak and we go, they have a really pretty campus. They must have a lot of money. Or, you know, whatever that moment is. And so we were very careful in our creative to not imply either a very, you know, desperate need because we didn't feel that that was correct, nor did we want to imply that we were sitting on the cushion of success because we were not. We are a nonprofit like everybody else. We run about $6 million, $7 million a year, and at least half of that comes from philanthropic dollars. So we definitely have to get there at the end of the year. So that was a big piece of this. We really wanted to think about that creatively, and we wanted something that was bold. If you've seen some of the creative, you see bright reds, bright purples, bright yellows. We wanted things that were going to cut through and not be, you know, wordy, but be dramatic. From a donor communications point, and I bring very much social media in there. We have a phenomenal social media team, which is great because it is not necessarily my skill set. We decided to do something we had not done before, and Vote Cat, Vote Dog made it perfect. We did early voting, and we invited key segments through email and other communications to consider, and we only gave them about 6 days, but to consider voting early. Actually, we also allowed voting often. So, you know, nobody's going to see our election and think that we followed all the rules.
I hope not to see you on the national news on that front. Yep.
No. But folks responded to that. That was something we thought of very intentionally. And we did it, to be perfectly honest, going back to what you said at the beginning of your introduction about how much Giving Tuesday has grown, but also how many folks are involved, and how are we going to sort of rise above Thanksgiving football, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday? And so 6 days out, before any of that stuff was happening, when, you know, parents were off maybe getting ready to go pick their kids up at college, or relatives were coming in maybe the next day on airplanes, we were out there communicating with them saying, consider vote early. Consider giving early. It also put us in a really nice position when Giving Tuesday started, because the other thing that we work very hard on is providing challenges. We have a wonderful corporate partner in the Mile One Group, Toyota, which is a local automobile group, and they provided us with a $10,000 matching challenge that we were able to present live on Facebook that morning, and were able to say, we already have voters who are committed to helping us make this challenge. Please help us make the rest. We also had a wonderful volunteer who's been working with us forever, and came to us and said, I really think what you're doing for Giving Tuesday, you know, I saw she was in the vote early thing, and she said, I think this is just so much fun, and I like the fact that you're trying to break out of this emotional place that the country is in. I want to give you a challenge. And she put a little more than $3,500 on the table for us, and we said, you know what, we're going to use this in our really last couple of hour push of when we're, you know, we know people are paying attention to social media. So those were some of the things that we planned out and put in the hopper in advance to both kind of spark the day, but also to spark people being excited. Our volunteers are chatty folks. And if they have an email that says vote early, I promise you it went to five other people without us even telling them to, because they are just so wonderfully committed. And we have a core of last year we were probably up to 1,100 volunteers that we worked with. So you can imagine that's a lot of people that you have a chance to get to very quickly.
That's great. It's you said a number of things there that I thought were really important, but one of them in particular was this whole thing around basically like the absentee ballot, like voting early.
Yeah.
And you were taking a Giving Tuesday campaign. Giving Tuesday is celebrated on a day, but you were making it very actively, you know, like at least a whole week of engagement, which leads me to my question, and that is, how did this kind of work in the context of your overall year-end giving, year-end campaign? Did you see a positive impact, and how did it connect to that?
Sure. So it's a great question. I would say if you looked at the day specific, we came out a little bit better than the year before, maybe about 4%. Nothing to get, you know, it's certainly not flat, depending on how you count, but, you know, nobody was going to go out and ring the bells and ring the gongs. What we did see that was a lot of fun was it became a great conversation starter, particularly for some of our donors, our major donors. For us, a major gift starts at $1,000. And 64% of our individual major donors give between October and December 31st. And VoteCat, VoteDog provided a great opportunity for our major gift officer to pick up the phone and for those who had not given yet and said, did you see the campaign? This was so much fun, and here's what's going on, and you still have a chance to sort of put your thumbprint on this thing and tell us, where do you stand? Because I think what it spurred for folks is kind of a moment of laughter. Everyone knows what's going to happen when a fundraiser calls you, and we all know it. And this conversation was sort of breaking the ice. So that made it a lot of fun, and I think it made end-of-year giving much easier. It fed into what we tend to do at the beginning of December. We invite our board to come in, and they participate in a phone-a-thon, and they call donors who either have already given to thank them, or they call donors whom they know who have not given to invite them to consider making their best gift before year-end. So again, it was another icebreaker for them to very fluidly flow into a conversation.
And that idea that they could have that conversation, have that connection, is really about human connection. And you know, in the work that
Absolutely.
I do in corporate social responsibility, I really believe in human social responsibility. It's about the connection between people. And that's really what this did. It made such a wonderful, funny, fun, and people love their animals. If I were talking about Sam, Will, Thomas, and Isabel, you wouldn't know which two were my mm-hmm. children and which two were my furry children, because mm-hmm. I have, you know, all four of them. So it created that human connection, and it's something that people are deeply passionate about. And it does kind of remove all of these barriers of angst that were swirling in the world. So what lessons did you learn that you will apply to what you do in the future?
That is a really wonderful question. There are a few things. Well, I mentioned the one, don't get lost in the creative joy. Enjoy the creative joy, but don't let it take over, because there is always a return on investment that you need to be mindful of. The other thing that really jumped out at me, this was my first Giving Tuesday with this organization. I've been a fundraiser for nearly 20 years, but I had been new to the Maryland SPCA, and they were, you know, wonderfully happy to share with me the past history of their experience with Giving Tuesday. And there was a lot of stress for folks. They were like, you know, we want to make sure that we're putting out the right message, and how do we do this, and how do we be creative? And what popped was not the times that we closeted ourselves in a room and actively, you know, almost forcefully brainstormed, although there was a lot of good stuff from those brainstorms that we used later. It was really the organic conversation. And now I often find that when I'm talking to my fundraisers or I'm talking to my leadership and they say, you know, what do we talk about to get folks' attention? I often say, talk about the things that we already talk about. You do not have to create another conversation. Our conversation was already, how do we balance cats and dogs and people who love both and some people who have preference for one or the other? That's where this came from. And I think that sometimes in nonprofit organizations, we are so busy making sure that we cut through and reach everyone that we almost chase a shiny idea. Some shiny ideas are great and important, and we need new, fresh things. For us, it was very important to remember that we needed to remember our own natural, organic moments. The other thing that I would say that we really learned this year was that Giving Tuesday has become such a phenomenon and such a movement. It has done something that I think for the nonprofit world was really very important in terms of getting attention and getting focus. But we also realized that for us, it was very hard to be distinctive. You know, there are hundreds of animal welfare organizations across the country who are trying to get out there on that day. And we spent a whole lot of time trying to make sure that we weren't going to look like anybody else. And what we sort of walked away from that was, we want to continue to invest in Giving Tuesday, but we've also started being very thoughtful about picking a giving day of our own. And there are a number of days across the year that make sense. We just passed National Dog Day. There is a national day for adopting shelter animals. And that's a day that we're looking to focus on so that we know that at that time, while we still might be competing with every other animal welfare organization, although that might be unlikely, we are not also competing with the big nationals and internationals and also every other small nonprofit organization that's trying to get attention on Giving Tuesday. So we're really excited about that. We're a little, there's a little intrepidation, like, oh my goodness, we're going to try to put our toes in brand new water. But I think the truth is, what folks are excited about is the knowledge or the recognition that we're really not putting our toes in brand new water, that we're really taking what we know and taking our expertise and using the messages that already sing, and we're just moving them over to a time of year where they don't have to sing louder than everybody else's message everywhere.
Yeah, that's a really important point. And I know, you know, the founders of Giving Tuesday, you know, Henry Timms right at the core and Asha Curran, who leads the current effort, really deeply believe in Giving Tuesday as a day where you can try something creative and different and new, and it may work and it may not work, but it's innovative and it's interesting and you just go for it. And it kind of takes you off the hook. It's like, just try it on this day. But you learn things through that innovation and through that creativity and taking that risk. You learn things and you take it and you build it into your longer term sustainability for your organization. And we see many, many organizations that we work with doing Giving Days in addition to Giving Tuesday, or sometimes in place of Giving Tuesday. That's okay. On days that are meaningful to them, clearly higher ed has certain moments in alumni calendars or certain moments in their year that are very, their alums and their students and their teachers and their whole communities are really passionate about. And that's wonderful. You're taking what you've learned and you're deploying it within a context that might even be more successful for you. So that's a really wonderful point to make. You don't have to just be on that day. The day is wonderful because it elevates the conversation, but
absolutely,
you know, the more muscle you build in your own organization, the more you learn how to elevate that conversation for yourself. So this has been a really, really fun conversation. You know, we get to talk about philanthropy. We get to talk about our animals. Like, who doesn't like that?
And when is it not a good day that you get to either talk about your pet or show somebody a picture of your pet? Let's face it.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of my Facebook is my pet.
Yeah, so when my kids were having their teenage angst years, someone said to me, you know, Rachel, this is why we have dogs. I get it. And in case anybody
Absolutely.
Is worrying, in my Sam, Will, Thomas, and Isabel, Thomas is the cat. He's actually Thomas Newell Hutchison, because, you know, you have to give your children and your animals big names, like in case they become
Absolutely.
Like Supreme Court justices someday or something, you know, something serious. And Isabel
right.
is the dog, and Isabel is Isabel Adams Hutchison, because, you know, they deserve just as big names as the kids. So
absolutely.
So, Jennifer, I want to thank you for joining us. This has been a really fun and insightful conversation about Giving Tuesday and beyond.
Thank you, Rachel. It was really just an honor to be invited. And I just encourage folks to often remember that you know more than you think you do, and it is okay to take a risk. And you're right. Giving Tuesday is a great day to try something and just say, you know what, we put it out in the world. Let's see.
And everything that you said actually goes beyond. You can do that for a company, too. You know, it doesn't have mm-hmm. to be a nonprofit. A lot of what you said actually is applicable for any kind of organization that wants to do something different on that day. So thanks to our listening audience for joining us today for this podcast. If you want to learn even more about Giving Tuesday, you can go to blackpod.com/Giving Tuesday, which is where you'll find resources such as a toolkit, which has things, you know, that are like fundraising tips, tips on social media, and even some templates that you can use. So you can listen to some webinars, other webcasts, et cetera. There's so much out there that will help you prepare if you want to take Jennifer's advice and be creative and dive in. So thanks so much for everyone for joining us today. I hope you do something great on Giving Tuesday.